Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Joining us now here on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline, Kaylin Kaler. She covers the NFL for SI.com. If you haven't read her latest piece yet, you should check it out right away. It's titled Madness at 43 Yards, The Bears Kicker Competition Through the Eyes of Those Who Lived It. Kaylin, thanks for giving us a couple minutes here today.
Yeah, no problem. I was checking the traffic on the story last night, and we can see like the links that are it's being referred to by. And Green Bay Packers Reddit was driving a significant amount of traffic.
Really? See, that doesn't surprise me. I didn't know if everybody out here would know this story. But so we all knew that the Bears were obsessed with getting this right after they cut ties with Cody Parkey. He misses that field goal last year that cost them a 16-15 wild card loss to the Eagles. Can you explain, though, to those that don't know or haven't read the piece yet, what's been going on in Chicago? They brought in 9 kickers, a kicking guru. It just seems like a big mess.
Yeah, so from their side of it, I think they are just trying to do everything they can. And yesterday, actually, Matt Nagy was asked about my story and, you know, to look back on what they've done. And he said, no regrets. He said, is it a perfect science? Maybe not. But, you know, Ryan Pace and I have a philosophy of no regrets. And that's actually a good perspective. And it kind of explains a lot of what they've done. They brought in 9 different kickers for their rookie mini camp, and they evaluated even more than that in different tryouts that they had before the mini camp. And then at the rookie mini camp, they brought in Jamie Cole as a consultant, and he will remain. He's a kicking coach, actually from Wisconsin.
Yeah, he's from Catholic Memorial. Jamie Cole, he went to Iowa State.
Yes.
They brought in Jamie Cole as a kicking consultant? Okay.
Yeah, he's a consultant. He'll remain through the 2019 season.
Yeah.
And he's actually like on staff, like helping to guide this search and to coach the kicker.
Sure.
And we're down to 1 now, so he's helping to coach Eddie Pinheiro there, which was sort of a unique situation that they did that. Cole has never been hired officially on staff as a consultant. He has relationships with a ton of different NFL teams and is widely respected in the league, but usually, you know, it's not actually like, let's bring this guy onto our staff. So that was a unique part of this too. And they also used TrackMan data, which is a technology commonly used in golf right now, although they're going to start soon expanding into the kicking world. And it basically measures like velocity, miles per hour off your foot, launch angle. It can tell you how far a field goal would have been made from, like how far that ball was going to travel. You know, like, oh, it would have been good from 63 or something. So they used all of this data. They ranked the kickers daily and then posted the rankings outside the locker room on a whiteboard, which is just a really interesting scene to imagine in your mind. And so, yeah, I talked to a bunch of the kickers who went through this process, and a lot of them were kind of critical of it because one kind of for 2 main reasons. One was because Matt Nagy in the offseason has continued to preach this catchphrase of remember the hurt, and he has played the video of the end of the game and Cody Parkey's miss and the aftermath of that, everyone's reactions. He's played that a bunch of times for the team this offseason, at least 3 times during veteran minicamp and OTAs, and then he kicked off rookie minicamp with the video of that kick. So, you know, imagine being a kicker trying out for the job, and the first thing you see when you walk into Hallis Hall is a video of Parkey's missed kick.
Right.
You know, that's sort of setting the bar with the pressure right there. And you know, several of them said it wasn't like an efficient way to go about handling it because they felt it was just a negative environment from the get-go. And then they even had them attempt the 43-yard field goal at rookie minicamp on the first day, you know, 1 at a time, in total silence, and they went 2 for 8. So that kind of shows you how hard it was just to recreate that. So, yeah, they were critical of that part, and then they were critical also a little bit of Jamie Cole just because he has his own private business. So he knows a lot of these kickers who have been his paying clients, who go to his coaching clinics and his camps, and this goes for all private kicking coaches. I don't think any of them would be unbiased in this role, because they all know certain kickers already and have worked with certain kickers. So the few kickers who hadn't really worked with him, they were a little apprehensive and they questioned the process because they could see a connection between the guys who got better scores and the guys who made it on to the next round and those who had established relationships with Cole.
We're talking with Kaylin Kaler. You could find her work at SI.com. I think like the weirdest part of this story is the fact that the Bears have now hired Jamie Cole for the remainder of the season. But if they have their guy, their kicker, what does he really do the rest of the year? Does he just evaluate future kickers or what, what's his title now?
I think he'll actually coach if it is Eddie Pinheiro, if he's the one who stays.
Yeah.
I think he'll actually be involved with coaching Eddie Pinheiro. They haven't, I mean, Cole obviously has his own business, so he's not there every single day.
Okay.
Like, I was there a few days of training camp, and I'm not even sure if I actually saw him, but he was there during training camp. He just wasn't there every single practice, every single day, because he does have his own life and his own family, and he's not, like, an actual full-time coach on staff. So I'm not sure exactly, like, what the arrangement is. They haven't really been super open about that, but I know he will be involved during the season, and I'm sure it's just sort of like coaching tactics, like improving the kicker that remains.
Have you been to Green Bay and checked out Packer camp yet?
Yeah, I did. I was there for one day, one of their final practices of training camp.
Mm-hmm.
It was a Tuesday, so I think it was last week, actually.
Yeah, yeah. What was your impressions of LaFleur's, the way LaFleur's handling his first camp up there?
I thought it was great. He looks like he's very much in control, and you know, the offense looks good to me, and the defense looks totally different with the new cast of free agents and draft picks like Rashawn Gary that have come in. So that's exciting, and you know, I got a chance to talk to Bill or Billy or William Turner. He goes by like all three names. and I specifically wanted to talk to him because Rodgers has singled him out like twice this offseason just to say, like, you guys should be writing about him. You guys should be paying attention to him. He's really good, and he's totally upgraded our offensive line. So I got a chance to talk to him, and he was a really cool guy and was talking about, you know, how he's so excited to play with Rodgers and all of that. And then also on that day, Rodgers spoke, and that was when he gave his quote about how, you know, he doesn't care about what we think about his relationship with Matt LaFleur. You know, like, he doesn't wish that we knew anything, or whatever that kind of snarky quote was, which I think is funny because he's clearly over that storyline, but it's still the biggest storyline, and it will be the whole season until we get evidence that they're working together properly.
Kaylin, I want to get your thoughts on who's going to win the NFC North. But first, just I got to go back to this because it's just so baffling. Just one more question about this kicker situation in Chicago. So
yeah. You
had the opportunity to talk with all nine guys, which I thought was awesome. But you also talked to a lot of people around the league, former kickers, coaches, executives, and that such. So when you bring up this story and how the Bears are handling this and this obsession of Matt Nagy, just the way that they lose in that wild card game, do they find this to be crazy or genius? Like, could you see other teams doing this? Or is everybody like, no, they're nuts. This is insane.
I think it's like jury's still out. Although it's interesting because Eddie Pinheiro, he didn't even come from, like, he wasn't even there for the rookie minicamp. So
right.
When they brought in nine guys, like, he was not one of the nine. So I would say for that part of the experiment did not work. That may be a failure, just the rookie minicamp part. But then when you continue, you know, throughout the rest of it, you know, I think if he becomes a really good kicker, which I think he could, if he becomes a success, maybe this, you know, process of just bringing in, like, everyone you can and then slowly whittling it down from there, maybe that will catch on. But when I was reporting the story, like, generally speaking, most people were pretty skeptical of what the Bears had done. And I think Adam Vinatieri's quote was one of my favorites, where he was just like, nine guys?
I know. I just feel bad for these guys. It's like, man, it's like, imagine getting fired from your job, but you're competing under all that pressure. And I almost feel like a piece of meat or something.
I mean, three kickers two kickers is pressure, four kickers,
right.
Whatever. But nine, man.
Yeah.
I mean, you're just like one in a number.
We're worried about our guy, Mason Crosby, here.
Right. And it was interesting because they all kind of walked me through when they realized there was nine, and none of them really knew until they got there. They knew there was going to be, like, more than normal, but they didn't know how many more than normal. A lot of them thought it was going to be, like, five or maybe six, like, at the most six. And then they got there, and they're like, oh, shit, I didn't know what's-his-face was going to be here. Like, and they're so, oh, God, you know? And it was just, like, they piled it on, and they're like, okay, so that's how many people are here.
I feel like it's, like, almost like the show The Bachelor, but with NFL kickers. Like, everybody's just competing for the love of Matt Nagy. But you also did an awesome preview on the NFC North as well, and that's on SI.com, MMQB. So if I had to put you on the spot, take you to Las Vegas right now, we got to go up to the sports book and make a bet. Who are you taking to win the NFC North this year?
Oh, my God. That's such a hard question.
Don't worry about offending anybody. Everybody in Wisconsin, for some reason, hates the Packers anyway. So just you can just say the Bears.
Oh, stop.
That is so hard. Okay. I'm going to say, I guess I would say the Bears only because I think that their defense is so good that it can repeat what it did last year and sort of pick up slack on the offense for Mitch Trubisky. Because I think that's their biggest question mark. If Mitch can be better than he was last year, I think they'll win. I guess that's my condition. If Mitch improves, I think they'll win the division. If not, I could see it going to Green Bay or Minnesota. I just don't have a lot of faith in the Lions for whatever reason, just because Matt Stafford is now on his, like, third quarterback coach in four seasons. Like, they just keep firing the quarterback coaches. So, I don't know. Like, I feel like he's just a quarterback that's unfortunately never going to reach his true potential there. I would say Bears if Trubisky improves. If not, I would say Packers and Vikings. Like, I think the Vikings are going to be a lot better this year, like a lot better. They're going to play like they should have last year.
Kaylin, thanks a lot. Your work is awesome, and we hope to speak again with you very soon.
Thanks for coming on.
Great. Thanks so much.
That was Kaylin Kaler. You could find her work at the MMQB. She's on Sports Illustrated now, and that article on the Chicago Bears and their kicker situation, that's also going to be featured in the magazine as well. She joined us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. Looking to buy, build, renovate, or refinance in 2019? Then look no further. Call Great Midwest Bank today. Great Midwest Bank, providing simply local common sense lending to your community since 1935.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.